Matthew chapter number 13, verse 34 and 35. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables. Parables. And we're familiar with the parables. How many of us know the parable of the prodigal son? Probably the most well-known parable in the Bible. A son who goes into the far country, wastes everything, comes to himself, comes back home repentant to God and to the Father, and is restored at the Father's house. And there was rejoicing. And I told Brother Daniel, I said, he said, my mom and daddy is glad. I said, it's more than that. Heaven was glad. It was rejoicing in all of heaven. Those are those short earthly stories with heavenly meaning that Jesus told. The lost sheep, talked about sheep. Left the 99, went in the wilderness. We all know that story. Brought it back on his shoulders. And he said, rejoice with me. Parable of the Good Samaritan. What great truth that is found in our Good Samaritan, who is able to touch and save, give life to those that this world has destroyed in spite of religion. The sower, the seed, and the soil. The hidden treasures, on and on and on and on and on and on. Many, 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 many earthly stories with heavenly meanings that Jesus told. Parables, he said. And without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. I want to preach this morning for a few moments, as the Lord would allow, how that in these parables, and the word parable simply means to lay objects down and view them. To see what is in one that can remind you of what is in the other. To see in this one that which reflects what is in that one. Jesus is bringing us to these parables, these stories. And he's reaching out. What he's doing is reaching out and he's getting worlds, as we'll notice. He's bringing them together, worlds that are apart. He's bringing them together. He's laying them down before us. And it is in these that he reveals what you normally cannot see, but you need to see. What you normally cannot hear, but you need to hear. He is revealing eternal truths. But he does it by comparisons in these worlds, I say worlds apart. We have a set of twins, grandchildren. They're now 10 years old. And up until they were 7, almost 8, I didn't know which was which. I just called them twin. I'd say, hey, twin. Hey, twin. If I saw them running by, I'd say, hey, twin. I knew they got tired of that. They had to. They had no identity. They were just twins. But I couldn't tell them apart unless I had them standing side by side before me. And as they stood side by side before me, I could see all the things that were alike and then the things that were unalike, so I could differentiate between Aisley and Ayla. Now, they've since developed, because they're not identical twins, to where I can easily tell the difference, but at that time, I could not, and I was not the only one. Most could not tell. And what Jesus is doing here is he's bringing these worlds together so we can see the alikenesses and the things that are unalike, revealing truths that we need to know. His purpose is not to give us a bedtime story so we can go to sleep in the parables. These are not just entertaining stories to amuse us. They are life-changing stories that Jesus shares with us. Now, I want to lay out before you, as Jesus does in these parables, an introduction, four worlds that we're all familiar with, or that he at least wants us to become familiar with. I'm not going to go and read any of these parables. We have, as we said, do know some and many of these parables, such as the prodigal son, if you just want to think of that one. But I want us to look at the worlds that are presented to us that Jesus lets us see. First of all, I would say to you that the springboard of his parables always begin in the natural world. He always takes that which is physical and magnifies it in his parables. I like what Ecclesiastes 3:11 said, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. He also has set the world in their heart. He lets us see things as God created it that is all around us, the natural. But he lets us see things as we experience them. He's talking about everyday life for all of us anywhere. This is not a part of, he's not telling us of a make-believe science fiction story. He never gives us fairy tales. He doesn't talk about beings nowhere found in life. There are no ETs in his parables. There are no flying dragons. There are no monsters. As in The Lord of the Rings or Star Wars or Narnia by C.S. Lewis. Nothing wrong with those stories, but what I want you to know is Jesus deals with what is real in life. Maybe not something that has happened to you particularly, but something that you know could happen or has happened somewhere. And sometimes has happened to you. These are true stories, natural to all the hearers, such as when Jesus told the parables of the farmers, there were farmers there. He told the parable of the sheep, there were shepherds there. He told the parable of the treasures, and of course there have always been those who are looking for treasures or pearls. He told the parable of the building the house on sand or on rock, and no doubt there were people there who were builders, and of course who did live in those houses. He gave parables of marriages and things of that nature, true to life experiences, everyday living. And certainly all of us, to go back to the parable that I've mentioned that is prominent, has known of someone that has had a child who has left home and is in the far country and hopefully has already come back. Amen. What the Lord does is he causes you to pause and to look at what you're looking at, to see more closely what you are seeing, the natural. in all of its creation and also in all of its experiences. You will find people there such as lawyers and Levites and Samaritans and fathers and sons. You will find animals in these parables such as birds and sheep and hens and swine. And you will find plants there such as seed and tares. And you'll find minerals there such as pearls and stones and things of that nature. The sun, the rain, all of these are found there. Places such as the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, the far country, home, the temple, the field, the vineyard. All of these things are natural. All of these things are things that existed in their world where they lived. Everything that happened, can I say to you, everything that happens to you happens here. Isn't that true? Everything. So what Jesus does is he presents these parables, these earthly stories that have everything to do with you because this is where you live and you exist. This is the only thing you really know. So he's making connection to us where we're at. Aren't you glad the Lord makes connection to us where we're at? Oh, how he could speak if he wanted to speak of the things that we do not know. But he wants to come down to our level in everyday language because that's where you live. If he speaks to you, he'll speak to you about where you live. And he'll take those earthly experiences and he will speak to you through those earthly experiences. The simplicity of these parables, letting us focus on what's happening right now. Where we're at. As one great philosopher said, you know him as Ernie Emmons. No matter what happens, he'll always say like this. It don't matter what it is. Well, if you line all them letters up just right, they spell life. That's just life. Isn't that true? Jesus gives parables that deal with life, with natural life, with the experiences that you have through life, where you are and where you live, the reality of life. Job said, but ask now the beast, and they shall teach you, the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Who knoweth not in these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought all of this? Everything we see and hear and know is of a physical source in these stories. There will be a connection there. How important that is. We first of all begin where he begins, right here. Right here. Right there. It is a parable that deals with that which is physical or that which is natural. And I'm so thankful for all of the places I've been able to go in this physical world. And the things that I have been able to experience, the Grand Canyon as we spoke of, or the Tetons, or the Redwood National Forest, or the Glacier Park, or even been to Hawaii. I wanted to be a missionary there, but there wasn't nobody support me. Oh, a lot of places. that we've been able to go and see and experience that seems to be the height of the physical. But haven't we all experienced what we would see the hardships and the burdens of the physical that we bear in this world? They're both true in the natural. And in all of these parables, these earthly stories, he deals with unpleasantness in the natural. There will be both pleasant and unpleasant. But as our great philosopher said, can I quote him again? That's called life. But the second thing I would point out to you in these matter of the parables, laying things down, worlds down, so you can see the one in the other, the reflections of them. He not only reveals to us the natural, where you live and move, have your being, but he uses the natural as a springboard to reveal to us and open up another world. It's not to begin and end with just this world. This world opens up to reveal to us that there is not only a natural world, there is a spiritual world. That there is not only an earthly, but thank God there is a heavenly. But if you find out about the spiritual, it's not when you get in a rocket and shoot up as high as you can, and hopefully you can go as far as heaven and say, hey, I can say there's a heaven because I'm up here now in a big rocket. Now you don't find it like that. You find it right there where you live. You find it going through the life that you're going through, because right in the midst of it, God will take that natural which is created by Him. The same God that created in creation is the same God that wrought out salvation. The DNA is in both of them, if you can see it. You can see the very hand of God in one and the heart of God in the other. But he's using the one to show the other. If you ever see the other, you'll see it through the one. If you ever see the spiritual, you'll see it through the natural. Amen. And if anything ever revealed the God that Jesus was, it was his parables. You see, he knew creation like no one else did. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. I mean, he knew this world inside and out, every creature in it, including you and me. And honey, when he begins to point something out, you better listen to him, because he knows it. He knows a sheep. He knows a snake. He knows creation like no one else knows creation. He created it. But he knows the spiritual at the same time like no one else does, because he's God manifested in nature. The world, one writer said, the world of nature came from and is sustained by the hand of him that wrought creation, and with the same hand wrought salvation. We would therefore expect to find unity and analogy running through all. The one helps us to understand all the other, because the same one made both. The Bible said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, night unto night utters knowledge. In other words, if you get to seeing this just right, you're going to pick up on that. because it is going to reveal that. Everything about the natural to Jesus revealed something about the spiritual. That's the way he saw it. Romans 1 verse 24, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood and by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. He noticed in common objects around him heavenly things. When he spoke of sight, when he spoke of light, when he spoke of a candlestick, when he spoke of a house on its foundation or a door, when he talked about bread or sheep or shepherds or temples or vines or seeds or soils or farmers or weddings and so on, he was talking of it while here on earth, but from a heavenly perspective. He saw God in everything. He saw God in everything. It was not only a matter of this world, it was a matter of revealing another world. Because it was in this world, through what he saw around him, he revealed the Word of God. He revealed the way to heaven. He revealed himself as a sacrifice. He revealed the soul of man. He revealed the family of God. Because the word parable means to throw alongside, looking at and seeing two things, and in them seeing one in the other. If you can see it and if you can hear it, I'm going to tell you something. There's more to this world than what you would think. Eternity is in the parables if you can see it. Something beyond this world. Aren't you glad for the day when you realize that there was more to life than life? There's more to the S-U-N than the S-U-N. There was more to light than light. Everything in this world has a message of something in another world. It has a spiritual truth connected to it, and that is what Jesus manifested. I was preaching up in Kentucky, and a farmer there spoke to me, and he said, you know, I love to study my animals. And he said, I've got a flock of bobwhite quail. He said, I'll just sit down and watch as they operate as a flock. Said, one day I was watching them, and he said they did something I hadn't seen them do. Said they lined up in military rows, one after another, two rows all across the pen. They were in a pen. And he said, then they started making a noise and moving their wings, and said, in unison, they went forward quickly. He said, I couldn't see what was taking place. But he said, just in a moment, almost instantaneously, I saw a big black snake shoot out of the side of that pen. Now that's what happened there. But here's what happened here and here. He said, what I realized was, what one of them little birds couldn't do it by itself, all of them could do together. And he said, I realized the importance of the family of God and the house of God, and how important we are to each other when we fight this battle of faith, this spiritual walk that we're in. In other words, he didn't just see the physical. Thank God he saw the spiritual. To be able to live in this world and yet realize that you are a part of another world. He's bringing worlds together. He has shown us the natural. Now he has shown us the spiritual. Thank God, I'm glad that there's more than this. But thirdly, I would emphasize that in each one of these parables, and you can take your time and read them, you're going to find, let me put it this way, you're going to find you. As a matter of fact, if you can't find you in the parable, it's of no value to you. In other words, we, each one of us, are a world within ourselves. All of us are different. But Jesus spoke the parables. Someone said he was the greatest contemporary preacher of all times because these parables have applied to all people in all ages. If you look in there, you'll find yourself. And it really has a meaning to you once it opens up. And you not only see this world and that world, but you see yourself in both of those worlds. Boy, they pick up. I'm going to tell you, business picks up when there are, when there is this revelation, not only a revelation, but an application of you being inside of these parables. You may be the prodigal son, or you were the prodigal son. You're one of those four souls. You know that, don't you? One of them. Have you built your house upon the sand, or have you built your house upon the rock? This deals with us personally. There's not a person here that it doesn't deal with. Are you a sheep or are you a goat? Are you foolish or are you wise? Can you see yourself in the sparrows that God takes care of or the lilies? It gives great value to these parables in your own personal life when you can look and all of a sudden you see this is not just a story about some place or some event somewhere else, but all of a sudden you say, oh Lord, I see myself. As a matter of fact, this book means nothing to you until you find yourself in that book. When you see yourself in this book, it comes alive to you. And it is then that you begin to study it more closely because you realize that the whole purpose of it was for you. That you might in your world analyze it to see that there is another world. And take those truths and let them work in your life and live in you and find out how powerful that they are. Years ago, I had a fellow member of my church. I was over at his house, and he had a hallway in his house that went down to the bedrooms and bathroom on the sides. And right at the end of that hallway, there's a little wall, and there was a full mirror on that wall. He had a little old poodle dog. Had it in his arms. He said, "Preacher, I want to show you something." I said, "Okay." He brought that poodle dog over there and he set it down. It had a name. Anyway, he pointed toward that mirror. When that poodle dog saw that dog, he got roused up. Had a hardwood floor and he's trying to get some kind of traction. You got them feet going and he was growling, getting madder by the moment. And he'd head down toward that mirror. About halfway down, he'd get full traction. Just enough to slam right in that mirror. Boop! And bounce back off. And then he'd come waddling back down. But would you believe it? He said, "Every time I set that dog down, it does the same thing." We didn't know it until it walked by one day. We'd put that mirror up and it saw it. It never realized that the dog in the mirror was him. He was killing himself trying to get at that dog. Well, I'm going to tell you something. This world's going to kill you unless you realize that Jesus is showing you the truth. He wants you to find yourself in the midst of whatever else is going on, and then in the midst of that, realize that He's reflecting in this natural something that is spiritual that you need to know. That you weren't just born, but you were born to be born again. Amen. That you don't just have a physical life, but you need a spiritual life. I'm talking about that natural world, that spiritual world, but oh, listen, pulling you in to see where you're at amidst those worlds. Laying them down so that you can understand, if you can, what he's saying. Have you ever noticed how you can take a baby, 4 or 5 months old? We've got 4 children and 13 grand youngins. Woo. But you can take that little baby and hold it up before a mirror and it's got no clue who that is. So it's just sort of watching and looking. It doesn't realize that the movement that's happening is its movement. And then one day, I don't know, somewhere around 16, you hold them up before the mirror. And they realize, hey, this is me. When they raise the hand, I'm raising my hand. They raise the other hand, I'm raising my hand. When I smile, it's somehow they realize that this really is all about what is all about them. And to realize that God placed you in this world to show you that he's got another world for you. But you're going to have to be able to see it. You're going to have to be able to see it. So in any parable, you're going to see the natural. It'll be the first thing you see. He'll magnify that to you, where you're at and what you're going through. He'll pull you in through that. Then you'll see the spiritual, but then you'll realize, hey, he's speaking to me. As the prodigal son, when he came to himself, he's speaking to me. How many young men and young women have, through that sermon, the Lord turned on the light and they said, oh my God, that's me. And they headed home. And it all meant so much difference. It meant so much more to them. But there's another world in this parable. Every parable, I don't care which parable that you read or where you find it, Matthew, Mark, Luke, you're going to find the world of the divine. In every parable, you're going to find Jesus, you'll find the Father, or you'll find the Holy Ghost. Some of them, you'll find all three. But God is in there. Because the purpose of these earthly stories, the purpose of these parables is ultimately to lead you to his world, to him and who he is in relationship to you and who you are. Because ultimately in this world, if you never find out who he is, honey, you've been better off not even to being born. But isn't he so gracious to come into our world to magnify himself to us? Now you read those parables and you will find him so prevalent. He is there, somewhere in each one. He's either the sower, he's the rock upon which the house is built. He's the sacrifice in the prodigal son's story. He's the father of the prodigal. He's the Holy Spirit that is sweeping. He's the father that takes care of the sparrows and clothes the lilies. He's the thief that's coming at night, or the bridegroom coming for the bride. He's the owner of the field. And every one of them, hey, there he is. In every parable, you'll end up saying, oh, there's me. But in every parable, really what he's bringing you to is to say, there he is. And you get you and him in the same setting hunting, honey, something bigger than the Grand Canyon is fixing to happen. Because he's going to meet you at one place. You and he are going to meet in the Word of God. You're going to find out who he is. Seeing everything through the eyes of Christ and seeing Christ through everything. He's the king. He's the nobleman. He's the master. He's the host. He's the husbandman. He's the shepherd of the sheep. He's the vine. He's the door. He's the bread. He's the water. It's a portrait of himself in the parables. His patience in the parable of the debtors. His compassion in the parable of the good shepherd. His love in the parable of the son. Let us not be blinded by this world from seeing him and who he is. Seeing everything, as I say, through the eyes of Christ and seeing Christ through the parables. Because it is in these short earthly stories we see our surroundings, we see ourselves, and we see our Savior in every one of them. Jesus is bringing all the worlds together to reveal himself. And through these parables we see things we never would nor could see. Now, a couple of illustrations and I'll close. How many of you ever remember the paintings called optical illusions? Anybody ever see those? To really be able to see them, you had to focus, they say, unnaturally. Your vision had to shift on you. There were paintings of the same objects that made no sense at all. How many of you have ever seen them? They got a blue million ships that all, or boats that all look the same on one, or a blue million trains. Whatever it is, they'll all be the same thing, no different, all the way across. But they said that what you had to do is you could stand before that painting, and who knows how long it would take. But once your vision shifted, you stepped inside of that painting and you saw that it wasn't ship after ship after ship, but you were actually at a dock where there were many ships of many sorts, and you could see porpoises and you could see fish, and you could see the dock and you could see little kids playing and all that other stuff. It's amazing. They told us about it. I said, well, I want to see that. So you got to go somewhere and stand and look stupid. Everybody's walking by you. They have no idea, and you're just... And so me and Esther, we said, well, let's do this. She got a painting. She looked inside of it. I got a painting. I looked inside of it. She wasn't looking no time at all. She said, oh, I'm in. It's like you step into something three-dimensional. Brother Lester's looking at me like, man, what? You do. It's like you've stepped into something. Have you seen it? Have you been able to do it? Look in it. And it's like you stepped in. Somebody else, raise your hand if you've done that. Look, Lester, they're doing it. Okay. He's looking at me like, Mar, he's missed it right here. Okay. But it's like your eyes pull you in. And man, it's a whole world in there. But now, if you adjust your eyes just a little bit, if you just flicker, if you look back at your eyes, and you're right back out to that boring painting. It's called optical illusions. So I went through and I said, 30 minutes. I just looked at trains, and all of a sudden, I went inside. Man, I saw the conductor. I saw the little red caboose. I saw different tracks. I mean, I saw birds. I saw mountains and the scenery. I saw everything that you would think that you would see. I was able to see. You go from looking stupid to looking surprised. It's like the difference between lost and being saved. I mean, nothing means anything. It's just everyday living. You're just trying to make the best of it and hoping you can get some thrills and frills out of all of this. And then all of a sudden, you see that there's more to this. And I'm going to tell you, that word grabs your heart and it opens up, and all of a sudden you're going, is that what happened to you? Oh, my goodness. I didn't know I was lost. I didn't know what that preacher was talking about. Those songs didn't mean anything to me. I sat through it for I don't know how many times. It's just like looking at a billion birds or a billion. Am I right, Jason? It's just like, you know, going through the motions. And then all of a sudden, man, that thing comes alive and you really get to see who he is. And it's like you've stepped over into his world now, and you're still here, but oh my goodness.
Yes.
And then you throw it all into the same batch and you start singing, "This is my Father's world. It's all his." And I get to be a part of it. That he's just as much real to me right here as he will be for it. It's all in here. Have you ever went to maybe a small pond to fish, or maybe a small lake? No breeze. Stillness. And the water looked like glass. You ever done that? And it's a clear pond, and you can look down there and there and see the fish and some of the things that's in that world. Everything that lives in that world, you look in there and you see that. But then all of a sudden, it's the stillness of that water like glass that lets you see that there's more than the world that's in there. Well, my goodness, that's a whole world above that and around it. I can look into there and I can see that tree to perfection almost. I can see the bird flying over if it's a still day. I can see myself. I can see the grass that's on the banks. I can see the blue sky and the clouds just by looking at a still. I'm looking down, but I'm seeing up. I'm looking in, but I'm seeing all around. And all God wants the natural to be is that place to where he can speak to you and reveal what is supernatural. The earthly to reveal what is heavenly. And to take you and show you and him at the same time so that it all comes together in a parable. And how many lives have been brought together through the parable of the sower and the seed? How many lives have been brought together through the parable of the Good Samaritan? How many lives have been brought together through the parable, as I say, the prodigal son? God coming into your world so that you could understand him and his world. And aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that he's introduced you to more than what's here? And that's why, as children of God, we're not really that upset about leaving this world. Because we know there's another world ahead of us. There is our Father's world. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and around me rings the music of his spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees and skies and seas. His hands, the wonders wrought in the parables. The truth about me and you. The truth about earth and heaven. The truth about the physical and the spiritual. And the truth about the Savior who came into this world. And if you ever get saved, you know where you're going to get saved? Right here in this world. In your time. Eternity will be dealt with. And Jesus reveals it. Laying all the worlds together. Worlds apart, brought together. To see him.